Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. First on the dock today, Mark Means wants to continue the hearing set for tomorrow. Wait until you hear why. Second, this is why we do background checks. Third, man commits a crime within 20 minutes of being released from jail. A judge dismisses charges against a doctor alleging theft of a vaccine. Wait till you hear the facts about this. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button and also hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Now, tonight is Tuesday, and we will be going live at 6 p.m. Mountain Time on both Facebook and YouTube. Please join us. First on the docket today, Mark Means. Some people are starting to think that it's something personal that I have against Mr. Means. Nothing can be further from the truth. I just don't understand what he's doing. That's all I'm saying when I talk about Mr. Means. So far, just about everything that he has requested has turned out to be frivolous. As most of you know, as we talked about this yesterday in our video, that there is a hearing scheduled for February 17th at 9:30 a.m. Mountain Time. That hearing has been set. If you take a look at the setting for the motion to compel, which was set due to the motions filed by Mr. Means and Mr. Pryor, basically saying, hey, I don't really have all of this discovery. And let's be candid, it was Mr. Means who was saying he didn't have the information. He also wanted his client to have a cell phone at the jail so that he can speak with her. Well, the court set this motion to compel for February 17th back on January 20th. So literally almost a month. So what does Mr. Means do today? Yep, you guessed it. He filed a motion to continue today, saying that, for lack of a better term, he didn't know about it. He's also requesting, in a motion caption that makes little to no sense to me, motion for status conference under seal. So I guess he wants a status conference with the doors closed and no one being able to see, which is probably a violation of his own client's constitutional right to a public hearing, a public courtroom as it relates to our matter, and a request for hearing schedule on defendant Lori Vallow's motion for reconsideration. We've talked about this. The court already denied the motion to reconsider, saying that there is no basis in the criminal rules in Idaho to hear the motion to reconsider. We've discussed the fact that you must have some new information and you refile it. You don't just get to keep asking over and over again to do that. Judges normally don't change their mind. They believe they made the correct decision the first time, unless there's some new information presented. But the kicker is in paragraph 2 of this motion, and I'm going to read it verbatim. Paragraph 2 requests a hearing scheduled date on defendant Lori Vallow DeBell motion for reconsideration. Unbeknownst to counts, C-O-U-N-S-E, comma, L, this matter was set without notice of setting date for February 17th, 21 at 9:30 a.m. before this court. Counsel would like to file his memorandum in support of this motion in compliance with the Idaho Rules of Criminal Procedure notice requirements detailing arguments for said motion. Thus, defendant requests this is vacated for tomorrow hearings and set on an available time for counsel and this court. Perhaps Mr. Means is in a rush because he filed this and most of that second paragraph makes no sense. There are typographical errors as well as grammatical errors. Understand these things happen. Understand sometimes you think, hey, I didn't get notice of this. However, since the cases were joined, Mr. Means would have received notice from the court as it was filed in the Chad Daybell matter. Additionally, this is public record, and as a practical matter, if you have dates or you're not uncertain, sometimes you're not sure if you wrote something down, you think, hey, was there another date set? You or your staff call and confirm the date. Now, if I, as a member of the public, can confirm that there is a hearing date set out almost a month ago, that Mr. Means probably should have been aware of this hearing. It'll be interesting to see if the court allows the motion to continue, because motions have already been continued. They've been set out to March on the motion to dismiss, and it just keeps continuing. I somehow think, I'm taking a guess, and I'm telling you I'm taking a guess, I think the court denies this, makes everybody show up tomorrow morning at 9:30, and Mr. Means will more than likely have to get coverage for other matters, as this, I'm sure, would take precedence. It's nothing personal. I'm just saying, really? You got to be kidding me. The biggest case of your career, and you don't know when the next court date is scheduled? Not good. Not good. All right. Next on the docket. This is why we do criminal background checks. This is why everyone needs to go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service, and so that you can find out if the people that you are dealing with are actually the people you think you're dealing with. Take a look at this woman from Texas. She believed that she was dating and interacting on social media with a guy by the name of Bruno Mars. Sounds familiar. Well, the alleged victim, who was 63, well, she told the police that she had made this Instagram account back in 2018. She connected with someone claiming to be Bruno. She developed this relationship, and ultimately, this person named Bruno asked for cash. Now, oftentimes, these stories, you find out that the checks are asked to be sent to someone other than the person asking for the checks. In this particular case, the woman sent two checks, one for $10,000 and one for $90,000. And they were sent to an auto dealership. And ultimately, police said that they found their way, these checks did, into the bank account of Chinzendu Azunwa, a local man who was taken into custody for money laundering charges, along with an alleged accomplice by the name of Basil Amadi, who's also facing similar charges as well. The checks, as I said, went to an auto dealership by the name of Chi Autos. And these checks were allegedly used because this guy named Bruno, who she thought was Bruno Mars, you know, the extremely wealthy, successful, talented songwriter, singer. That's right. He needed the cash for his upcoming tour in 2022. Now, I get it. A lot of people like to believe that they're dealing with somebody famous. They like to believe that this is the love of their life. But obviously, that's not the case. As I said at the beginning of this story, this is why we do background checks. This is why you go to crimetalksearch.com, get that background search so that you can find out who you're dealing with, phone numbers, social media, everything associated with this particular person. You're going to get criminal background records, property records, marital records, divorce records, everything you're going to want to need. Don't get scammed. Don't get catfished. Don't get taken for your money. Check these people out. I wouldn't recommend it if it wasn't worthwhile. We use this every day in my criminal law practice to do background searches on witnesses. You never know what you're going to find out. Give yourself peace of mind. Make sure you're dealing with the people that you think you're actually dealing with. Next on the docket, a Washington state man who was released from jail managed to commit a carjacking with a teen driver in the car within 20 minutes of being released from jail. Now, the alleged hijacker, Mr. Marcus Goodman, was released from jail at about 10:28 p.m. the other night. According to the Spokane Police Department, the jail released 31-year-old Marcus Goodman from jail on Saturday on an unrelated felony charge. At about 10:28 p.m. on the night Goodman was released, a teen victim called authorities and said a man pointed a gun at her and demanded that she give up her car. Police said that Goodman was released from jail. He went to the Browns Addition neighborhood about a mile away where he carjacked the victim. A little before 1 a.m. on February 14th, Sunday, authorities found Goodman and the stolen vehicle. A little before 1 a.m., an astute patrol sergeant located the stolen vehicle near Francis Avenue and North Nevada Street in Spokane. The driver of the vehicle, 31-year-old Marcus Goodman, was detained. He was quickly identified as the person who robbed the young victim hours earlier. Now, Mr. Goodman has been booked back in the Spokane County Jail on felony robbery charges as well as motor vehicle theft. Some people are just high rep learners and they don't get it that you can't take things of value from other people without their permission. Otherwise, it's called theft. And if you use a dangerous weapon, it's called aggravated robbery. That's right. Bad, bad decision. Next on the docket, wait till you hear the allegations of this particular case, and I think it makes sense why the charges were dismissed against Dr. Hassan Gokul. Dr. Gokul had been accused of stealing a vial of the COVID-19 vaccine. The charges were ultimately dropped because the judge who heard the case determined that the charges were absolutely baseless. Now, the Harris County District Attorney says that she still intends on presenting the matter to a grand jury. So what happened was the case would have been presented via complaint and information. They set up for a hearing. The judge looks at it, says there's no probable cause, no crime was committed. The district attorney, of course, responds, well, we'll take it to a grand jury because we still think a crime is committed. Let me know if you think these facts warrant any charges against Dr. Gokul. I think you may say no. Dr. Gokul was fired from his government position and he'd been charged with an allegation of theft by a public servant. Now, Dr. Gokul has been a physician for more than two decades, according to the prosecutors, and while working at a county vaccination site, they allege that he pocketed a vial containing 10 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine. Dr. Gokul said he was merely trying to salvage a vial that had already been opened, and that the charges upended his life and completely ruined his reputation. Gokul said that the vial that he took had been opened late in the day and would have been worthless within about 6 hours had the doses not been used. The doctor determined that he wasn't going to waste the vaccine or let it spoil, so he scrambled to find 10 eligible people that the doses could be administered to safely. Now, here's where the alleged crime took place. One recipient was a bed-bound individual in their 90s, certainly in the high-risk category that would have warranted a shot. Others who received the dosage included a woman in her 80s suffering from dementia and a mother whose child requires a ventilator. Minutes before the vaccine would have been no good, he gave the final dose to his wife, who has a pulmonary disease that affects her breathing. I can see why the court found no crime had been committed. Dr. Gokul didn't take the vaccine and go use it for just his family. He didn't go sell the shots so that he could gain any money. He did what, frankly, we want people to do, use common sense. If we have an open vial, it's the end of the day. Who can we use this for so that it doesn't go to waste? Sometimes people in government do use common sense and look where it gets them. It gets their whole life destroyed, and the Harris County District Attorney still thinks that charges are warranted. Well, Dr. Gokul has an attorney and he intends to sue. He alleges that the Harris County District Attorney's Office, as well as the Harris County Public Health Office, disparaged his good name and took away his employment without cause. And the only way that they're going to be able to undo this is to have to pay. And this is a case where I think that Dr. Gokul may not get all the money that he's looking for, but he should get some relief. Doesn't sound like a crime to me at all. Let me know if you think the doctor should be charged. And finally today, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Before anyone gets mad at me, I'm going to tell you that our dumb criminal contestant of the day has mental health issues. And we're not making fun of him because he has mental health issues, but we're using this as an example to show what you cannot do. All right? A Chattanooga, Tennessee man by the name of Robert Joseph Halleck has been charged with perjury and forgery, and he used the former president, President Barack Obama, as the applicant's name on the handgun permit. As you can see from the photo of Mr. Halleck, lined up next to former President Barack Obama, not a strong family resemblance. Well, as it turns out, Mr. Halleck was denied a gun permit back in November of 2020. He thereupon decided it would be a good idea. No, Mr. Halleck, bad idea to apply for the application in the name of the former president. Needless to say, they investigated it. They found that Mr. Halleck was denied, and he had previously been denied a gun permit in Michigan as well because he had mental health issues. You cannot possess firearms if you have known mental health issues, which Mr. Halleck did. Are sympathetic to Mr. Halleck, but using this as an example to simply show what you cannot do. You cannot use someone else's identity to gain a benefit, even if it's only attempting to do that. You are committing criminal impersonation, and you're also committing perjury when you sign those documents. Under most states, it's perjury, forgery, for using someone else's signature on a document. Mr. Halleck, we sympathize with you, but you, for your actions, are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. We hope that you will get the mental health treatment that it sounds like you need and probably deserve. All right. Thanks for watching. Please join us this evening when we go live at 6 p.m. Mountain Time on both Facebook and YouTube. And then please join us immediately thereafter when we will do our Patreon live show as well. The catch is, if you want to be a member or participate in the Patreon show, you have to be a Patreon member. Please sign up for Patreon in the link below, and then we will send you a link so that you can access our live show. And we will, of course, ask the magic eight ball the question of the evening, as well as take your calls. We have this great system where lots of people can call in, have a conversation with me about anything you want. We just need somebody to call. Join us tonight. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tonight at 6 p.m. Mountain Time for our live show.